Thank you. We welcome Presiding Judge Robin Apple and also Rosa Junquero, the CEO, and Mr. Zlatko Theodorovich and Mr. Stephen Chang.
I think we're experiencing some technical difficulties.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay.
Good morning, members of the council. Here to discuss the first request under our new format and process for supplemental funding requests submitted by the Court of San Joaquin. The court is projecting to end the current fiscal year with a negative fund balance of approximately $1 million, which qualifies them to request supplemental funding. Staff have reviewed their projections and believe that they are reasonable based on review and discussion of all the pertinent information and fiscal expenditures. The request is for a $2 million distribution, which would address the $1 million shortfall and deficiency, as well as provide them a $16,000 minimum operating reserve amount. The court indicated that due to their severe fiscal crisis, that they are unable to request this as a loan and would not be in a position to repay the $2 million requested. The reasons provided to us as far as why they're requesting these funds relate to two issues. First, they say that per the RAS, as we're all familiar with, that they are a severely underfunded court beginning as determined since 2005-06, and that because of the recent budget cuts of $2.2 million, they've really put themselves, this has brought them to this position where they cannot sustain a level of operation that their allocation provides. However, this is not due to any extraordinary or unanticipated cost, but merely just an imbalance in their budget brought about by the reductions and their fiscal condition. They have identified a number of consequences if the request is denied. Of particular note and concern, obviously, is the access to justice, not all civil matters being addressed in a timely manner, and also impacts on traffic case processing. If it is not approved, they believe they would have to lay off an additional 17 staff at a minimum, generating $500,000 savings and additional courtroom closures. But I think we would note that the proposed impacts in terms of funding, go to the next one, would not fully address the $1 million shortfall. So we would still, if they were not provided the funding, they currently do not have a plan to breach the $1 million gap to bring themselves to a positive fund balance. I think we wanted to provide you some information in terms of background on their funding history. They were provided between 5-6 and 7, 5-6, fiscal years 5-6 and 7-8, $4.4 million of equity funding. I think you're familiar with, as an under-resourced court, they were provided additional resources as part of SAL funding. They have, as also part of being identified as an under-resourced court, provided relief from state funding reductions in 8-9 and 9-10, as you can see. With respect to compensation practices, there is a chart in the report that provides you, I think, 4 or 5 years of increased history. What you can note is that there was a pay equity adjustment in 7-8 that ranged from 3 to almost 24%, and in 4 out of the last 5 years there have been COLAs provided to staff. They have taken a number of cost containment measures to live within their means, and they have had detrimental impacts on the court. They've closed a branch in Tracy, generating about $86,000, as well as the Lodi branch. And in this fiscal year, they did lay off 42 staff, a substantial reduction in staff, generating $2.2 million. And they've instituted 4 mandatory furlough days, generating an additional $260,000 of savings. And so this $1 million request represents the net impact after they've taken these measures. So the court has implemented a number of cost containment measures in an effort to restrain the expenditures in the current year. They have implemented, in some cases, revenue enhancements related to ability to pay traffic citations. They are currently looking at expanding civil assessment program. There is some caseload backlogs, but as many courts are experiencing now, those are just some examples that the court provided to us. There, you recently heard the audit that was provided, I believe, in the results in October, and they have addressed many of those issues and are currently working on addressing them. So we didn't see any issues of material change since the October report. And if you have any further questions, you can direct those to the court for them to address. So with the information that was provided to us, we presented three different options for your consideration for approval. First would be to deny the request. We've provided you the impact statements from the court as to what that would mean to them. A second option would be to only fund that which it would get them to a negative, from a negative fund balance to a zero fund balance. Third option would be to provide them the request as submitted, and we would note that that would bring their fund balance to a 61% of the council's fund balance policy. So it would not fully bring them to what would be the council minimum policy on fund balances, but it would provide a 61% number there. Just for sort of context, we felt it was important to just give you some comparisons that if you were to look at a number other than what was requested, that if you wanted to provide 50% of the fund balance policy, you would be an additional, it would be a $1.83 million approval. And if you were at 25%, it would be $1.46 million approval rather than the $2 million that was requested. As similar to what was previously done with San Francisco, we have a number of terms and conditions to the extent that you do move forward with providing the court some fiscal relief. There are outlined in the report, but they relate to report on the use of funding, whether any or all of anything that you approve can be done as a loan, restrictions on the use of the funding, future current unrestricted fund balance, and any reports regarding audit findings. What I wanted to point out to you is that this is our first effort in presenting you this information, both in the report and in this presentation. And if there's anything that you feel that you would like to have from us going forward, please provide us that feedback, because we'd like to make this presentation be similar in every step for all courts. One other thing I'd like to report is that we did work with the court with our report. We did provide them a preliminary draft, and so the report reflects their feedback to us. So we didn't want to provide any inaccurate information. We wanted to make sure we were fair and unbiased in terms of our presentation, and so our hope is that we've presented the facts, and the court has done a good job of providing us feedback, making sure that we didn't misstate anything.
Questions, Judge Rosenberg.
Thank you, Chief. First of all, Zlatko, I want to say you did an excellent job. Staff did an excellent job here. We've certainly learned from our San Francisco experience and made the process much more user-friendly and appropriate, both for the council and for the affected court. I just have one question. I think the case has been made to support this. And I think a modification of option 3 might be appropriate, particularly to the extent this sets any precedent. And I'm thinking that the $1.08 million be provided outright, but that the remaining sums, in this case the $916,000, be provided as a loan with a payback of whatever, 3, 4, 5 years over time. That would be, I think, an appropriate way to go and would be a good steward of the relatively small amount that we have available for this emergency funding. I assume that when a loan is made for a portion of it and that money is paid back over time, that that money goes back into the emergency fund. so it can be reused for another court?
It would go back into the improvement fund and available for the allocation for emergency funding as we go forward.
Very well. So I think in that manner we help them and yet provide sufficient funding which we can leverage for the benefit of another court.
So several things. First, Judge Rosenberg, I've just sort of recorded that as an option 4.
Yeah. I called it option 3A, but option 4 is good.
Well, okay. $108 million with a distribution of one time and $916,000 loan. Details we haven't fleshed out. You mentioned a 3 to 5 year repayment period. I'm going to just have that on the table at the moment. I'm going to hear from Justice Hall.
Thank you, Chief. I had the same point I wanted to speak to, and that is whether or not any or all portion of these funds should be a loan. We're all mindful of the situation we had in the request from San Francisco for help, and we, as I recall, made that entire amount a loan, payable without terms except payable within 5 years. And because of that, I do see from the materials that San Joaquin County cites a severe financial crisis, and they wouldn't be in a position to repay the $2 million loan. But I think that we need to be as uniform and fair to the counties that do come before us for this type of help. And I think those that do are all in a severe financial crisis. And I think that as far as setting precedent, that unless there are really fundamentally basic differences to be considered between two requests such as this, that we should require this as a very easy terms loan or some portion of it, as Judge Rosenberg said. And we doing that, then can, as I understand it from what Zlotko just said, as time goes forward, the courts are successful, at least to some extent, in repaying some of this money, it will replenish the fund that can go to other courts.
Chief,
so I would support the idea of the loan. Judge? Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Judge Apple? I'd like to respond to that, and then I also wanted to make a short statement, if I could.
Please.
You know, anything we get, of course, we're going to be appreciative of, but we would be misleading the council if we told you we could repay a loan. We will not be able to repay any amount of a loan. Our situation, we are not San Francisco. We are not almost anybody, frankly, and this council knows our history. If we said we'd take it as a loan, we would be lying because we would never pay it back to you. It would not be possible unless miracles happen in the state. We are requesting that the council approve option 3 and allocate the full $2 million distribution for this fiscal year. Failure to allocate the funding will mean an additional 17 layoffs, resulting in no small claims hearings. Now, I told you previously we would stop small claims, and we have found a way. We are doing about half of what we used to do. There's a delay in getting hearing dates, but we have still found a way to continue to do small claims. We will not do any small claims. We will close two or three of our five civil departments. We are already down to 250 staff, which is less. We are supposed to have about 450. We've never had that many. We're down about a third of our staff. Our funding history is legend by now, and I'm not going to repeat it. Our audit, which we discussed in October, and Zlotko just mentioned, revealed ways we could improve our operations, but absolutely no mismanagement. And we have fixed every single audit recommendation that was that did not require any fiscal outlay on our part. Everything else by now has been completed. We've detailed our cost-cutting measures in this and past reports to the council. The cuts we've been forced to make already impact the public in significant ways. We closed an entire branch in Tracy. We've closed one courtroom in Lodi, requiring citizens in those parts of our county to travel to Stockton to conduct court business. The public is further impacted by very long lines, long phone waits, long waits to have their documents processed. Quite simply, San Joaquin County is out of options, and this emergency funding is our lifeline to continue to provide access to justice for all case types. The fund balance, which we're asking for, last year, as an example, we had an extraordinary $500,000 expense, and that's all we had left in our fund balance, and we used it to protect one of our judges because there was a very credible threat on his life as a result of something that was going on in one of his cases. That wiped out our fund balance. We couldn't ask for emergency funding because we still did have that $500,000 left, But we can't always wait to come to the council when there's an emergency like that. And any business, any court knows that you can't run on zero reserves. You have to have something in the bank. And what we're asking for here doesn't get us to the level that we're required to have. It's frankly a drop in the bucket, but it is some safety net for our court. You know, next year is going to be even worse, so telling us this is going to be a loan, like I said, is unrealistic because we're not going to be able to pay it back. So I don't know what else we can tell you. You know, we're not San Francisco, and we need the full $2 million.
Thank you. First, Justice Hull, Kim Turner, and Judge Yu.
Thank you, Chief. And Judge Apple, I appreciate your comments, and I must say that from the presentation that we have here, it's apparent that San Joaquin has taken really aggressive efforts to try to solve its problem, and I think that the funding, infusion of funds is appropriate. The only thought that remains, though, on the question of a loan is on this issue, well, on these types of issues and others, we have been careful as a council this year not to make assumptions that go too far down the road, and it does occur to me that if all or part of these funds were in the form of a loan payable as the court wishes in 5 years, if the court got to a position 3 or 4 years down the road, we could always, if you will, to use a term of art, change our minds about that. And at least we would maintain some uniformity going forward as to how these funds are treated as we send them to the trial courts who are in need.
Kim Turner.
Thank you, Chief. I wanted to, I talked with Zlotko earlier this week to find out if any other courts had made requests to date for the supplemental funding, because we did at the last SEAC meeting and following the council's action in October create a rather aggressive timeline to get requests into the pipeline so that they could be heard at this meeting. And I'm pleased to report that no other courts have yet come forward. Is that still correct, Zlotko?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And I want to also say to the San Joaquin court that I appreciate that option two, which gets you to exactly zero, you know, moths flying out of your pockets at the end of the year, is not the optimal place for any court to be, and that as a CEO, none of us would want to be in the position where we're managing our budget to a point of zero on June 30th. So I think option two fails for me because it allows for absolutely no movement, no contingency, no opportunity for one single thing to be different than what your planning is right now. And on the issue of the loan, when Judge Rosenberg mentioned it, and I think Justice Hull talked about it also, I was concerned because, you know, your funding situation is legendary, and I've been watching it, you know, with some interest for almost a decade now, and you've always been in the historically underfunded category and so forth, and I had concerns about how you might repay such a loan. So I'm wondering if there's another option, you know, maybe an option five here, which would be that if the council were to fund the $1.08 million, which gets you to the zero point, and then some amount between, you know, between zero and $916,000, but actually created some kind of accountability or feedback to the council as to whether or not you had to dip into additional funds beyond that point of using, you know, the $1.08 million. So to report back to say, well, you know, yes, we had to use $200,000 because we had another emergency or our, you know, our technology failed or whatever it may be, so that you know, I think one of the things that we're concerned about is accountability for courts coming forward to get supplemental funding and to make sure that we are doing our job to be good stewards of any supplemental funding that we give to courts. I think you've already made your case to the satisfaction of our finance division anyway that the 1.08 is needed, but it's the funding beyond that which is sort of you know, the purpose other than to put it in the bank and have it as an emergency fund is sort of vague. I think it might be helpful to the council to hear back from the court at the end of the year. Did you have to expend any additional funds? And if so, what were those funds expended on? So that's just an alternate idea that I have that I propose to make sure that the council gets good feedback from San Joaquin and any other court that comes forward with a supplemental request that wouldn't just bring their fund balance to zero.
Thank you. And now Judge Yu and then Judge Wesley.
Thank you. Judge Apple, I'm right here. I'm Erica Yu. I have a question that goes for me into the balance of the decision we have to make, because nobody wants to have you back here next year asking for additional emergency funding. And so what I'm trying to think about in a more longer-term view is, what is it that you need so that you can plan for the future, not have to come back next year? And if we do go with option 3 or 4 or 5, how do we know that you're not going to be back here next year?
Based on the expectation of the $4.4 million cut that we've been told we're going to take next year, we'll be back here. Because, and we have asked the chief, we have asked Ron, we've asked a lot of you, what else do you think we can do with the limited money that we're getting in this court? I mean, it's frankly bizarre what Judge Warner, who will be the presiding judge next year, is going to have to do if we get those cuts. So if you're asking me to say, well, if you give us this, you won't see me again because you've seen me every month for the last 3 months or whatever, 3 meetings now, it's not going to happen. I mean, next year is bizarre. I mean, I can't. Everyone says, well, how are you going to do that? Because the plan we have is just so draconian, and it's like something that no court's ever done before, because no one's ever run on the shoestring that they tell us we're going to run on next year. I mean, there will be nothing left. So, but you know what? We're going to keep going as long as we can, and this money will keep us going at least through this year. You know, to say, well, we're going to stop doing all these different case types now because next year we'll have even less money doesn't make any sense. We'll do it as long as we can do it.
Thank you, Judge Rosenberg. I'm sorry, Judge Wesley.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Well, here's my question. I have no doubt in reading the materials that your court's going off a cliff and needs money. But my question is this. When we give extra money to put into your reserve, I've talked about reserve as being a bridge funding to an action that your court's going to take. And I think what you just told me is that if we give you extra money, it's a bridge funding. It's a bridge to nowhere. And so my question to you is, what is your plan? What is your July is the end of the next budget year. What is your plan after you get this money and we get you to July? What is your plan for next year? Your budget's not going to improve. And so what is your plan not to come back to us but to make changes in your court that will get you through the next year? Layoffs, furloughs, what is your plan?
We will close every civil if we take the $4.4 million hit next year, we will close every civil department. We will stop doing probate. We will stop doing small claims. We will do half as much traffic as we do now. And the only family law, well, anything involving children we will do, custody, support, delinquency, dependency. We will not do anything having to do with property, for example, in family law, because I can't tell you how devastating another $4.4 million will be to our court. And I beg any of you that has a better idea for our court to tell us how to do it. We've been asking for it. There is no way you can run our court on how many people we'll be down to, 100?
About 200.
We'll be down to 200. We'll be down to 200 employees by then, including our CEO, our secretaries, everybody across the board. There's nothing else in our budget left to cut, and I don't know how to convince the council and everyone else in the world that that's true. You know, we've been really good stewards of our funds, and there's just nothing else. Well, get to a point where you can't do it anymore.
I think all courts are having the same discussion that you're just telling me right now, and all courts are saying, we can't do what we're currently doing with the money we're getting. And so the answer is you can't do what you're currently doing with the money you're getting. You have to have a plan
to
get
by.
And the plan can't be to come back to the council every year and say, give me more money. The plan has to be that if you give me the money to get to next year, I'm going to figure out how to live within my budget. If you don't do civil, you don't do civil. If you don't do family, you don't do family.
That's the plan for next year. As I explained to you, no civil, no family law except for custody and support, no probate, half the traffic, no small claims.
And if you do that, will you be within your budget?
If you cut us $4.4 million, that's what it's going to take to live within our budget, yes.
Thank you.
Now, two things. Before I hear from Ron and Judge O'Malley, Judge Apple, we know that, as Kim Turner has indicated, it's been a decade of underfunding. And we realize that the fiscal crisis on top of the underfunding is beyond draconian. And so what I'm hearing in the request for option number 3 is for us to consider as a policy, instead of a loan, an exception for a loan for those courts that are proven historically underfunded? I mean, I heard you sort of say that. I didn't hear you.
I think that's
accurate. We like rules. You know, justices, we like rules. And so that's what I'm hearing you ask for, is a policy that, unlike the policy, for say, for San Francisco or other courts, is when we are faced with a historically underfunded court, and I don't think anyone would disagree that it's that San Joaquin fits that bill, you're asking for an exception from the loan. I realize, too, separate thought, new idea, new direction, is that you are still trying to, you have a plan for next year. All that was asked was a plan, a draconian plan beyond words. We also know that in the interim process, before you get to that planning stage, there will be a trial court budget working group, and that will be addressed again with 15 presiding judges and 15 CEOs, and there will probably be at that time, I'm imagining. It's always an evolving picture, unfortunately, of where all courts are and what all courts need and what cuts we face. All of us have plan A, B, and C in our pocket, but we lead with one plan until we have to go to the next. Is that my understanding
Absolutely.
Of your situation?
All accurate.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. My comments, first of all, you know, I think we do have to plan for the worst. I don't think we assume the worst, that 15% is going to be the cut next year, and there's no other way out, and we're going to concede that. We've heard reports over the last 2 days of the six-point plan that the chief and Kurt and Zlatko and I are suggesting to the legislature and to the governor that would not have the cuts be at 15%, and we're optimistic that some or all of that can actually happen. So sort of the conclusion that the disaster starts July 1st, I just want to temper that a bit, that we're clearly working on that. I think the chief's point that distinguishes San Joaquin from San Francisco and some of the other courts is the historical underfunding, and it is legendary. In the early stages of the state appropriations limit, SAL, we had an approach that provided additional equity funding to underfunded courts, and that included San Joaquin. That was slowly eroded in terms, and it was a very small amount. I think it was initially $12 million statewide. So it was not, you know, a panacea of reaching equity among the courts, but it was an approach. Ultimately, I think, you know, the addition of new judgeships that comes with staffing and budget and resources will ultimately be the equity process that we're looking for in terms of new judgeships and funding and staffing for Central Valley courts and for the Inland Empire, and that will provide the equity. But in the meantime, there was an attempt early on by this council to provide some level of equity of funding in the process. That was slowly eroded and then eliminated with the elimination of SAL. I think, again, so that's the distinguishing factor, I think, as you try to be equitable with what you've done with San Francisco, is that they are two courts coming from very different places. They're both in trouble now, but they have come from very different places. And so from my perspective, the suggestion from Ms. Turner in terms of report backs and accountability would be appropriate.
Thank you. First, Judge Rosenberg, then Judge Kaufman, then Judge O'Malley.
Thank you. I don't mean to ask an uncomfortable question. Perhaps, Zlatko, you're in a position to respond to this. But has anyone calculated the cumulative effect of the COLAs that were given in 06, 07, 07, 08, 08, 09, and 10, 11 to the employees of the court?
Page 8 of the report. On the right-hand column, table 3 shows the...
Oh, I mean in dollar amounts.
Oh, I was... Just before we walked in, we thought we wish we would have calculated that value, but we didn't have that. We just thought that might have been good for illustration, even say the last 3%, what it meant in terms of the value. Is there a sense, Rosa, what that might have cost? Stephen is guessing that it might be around 600,000. Is that
just the last 3%?
The last 3%,
but not the cumulative.
Not the cumulative. So about give or take 600,000 for
half a million dollars.
So cumulatively, it's millions.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Personal services.
Judge Kaufman.
Question, Slatko. We gave the Judicial Council gave San Francisco $2.5 million, and if we did this, it'd be another approximately $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have what, $5 million or less left in the fund. The last.
I think we have $7.5 million right now.
7.3. 5.5. Then if we gave $2 million to San Joaquin,
we'd be five down to 5.3.
$5 million left. It has to get us for the rest of the year.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, I see in your report. After you list the options, you have some conditions, which I've just closed. And so if the council were to give San Joaquin money, what conditions should we be attaching to that? There's like five or six recommendations.
Right.
In other words, do we just give them the money and say, do what you want, or do we say, here's the money, and to paraphrase Judge Wesley, what's the plan to use the money so you don't come back here next year? I mean, what do you suggest we do?
Well, I think in terms of consistency and the way in which there were terms and conditions with San Francisco, we modeled the terms and potential suggested in the same fashion. So in terms of reporting, restrictions on using the funds for nothing but just maintaining the courts open. So I think generally we wouldn't have put this if we didn't think this was something you should follow. So whatever was enumerated in the report, we would suggest that you follow those conditions in terms of reporting, including the audits, findings, all
well,
of
let
those.
Me ask you the next question. So if we gave him, as Justice Hull said, we gave him, and Judge Rosenberg, we gave him $1 million plus the other $900,000 alone, we could track their financial circumstances to determine whether they could or could not pay back the loan and whether they were really running the court effectively and efficiently so that they could pay or not pay back the loan.
You could direct us to continue monitoring them as we go along, but we would be doing that anyways as just part of our service to the court, so it wouldn't be any different than what we were doing. It'd just be a matter of maybe we would provide, in the fact that we do have an action potentially, that we would come back and on a more frequent basis provide you a specific update relative to the fiscal health of the court.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Judge O'Malley, then Miriam Kinski.
I just have a couple of questions, sorry, about the material that we received. On Table 3, which is the COLA, page 8, and the pay equity adjustments, I see that in the last 5 years, those adjustments were increased for employee pay 17.1% to 40.3%. And I noticed that in year 09-10, COLAs were deferred, but not 10-11 this last year. And kind of, you know, what was the rationale in deferring and why weren't they deferred this last year?
Well, let me first tell you that the reason there were any raises is we did an equity study when we finally got some RAS money because we knew our staff was stunningly underpaid, and I think the adjustments explaining just how underpaid the staff was. And they are still below the average, and I think that chart's in here somewhere, too.
Next page.
Page 9. Our staff is still above the state average in terms of below the state average. The COLAs had been contracted in 08. They deferred it. I'm sorry, do I remember wrong?
7-8. In 7-8, we had entered into a three-year contract with our represented employees. And the contract was for a 3% COLA adjustment at the beginning of each fiscal year, beginning in 7-8. So that would have been 7-8. 8-9 and 9-10 being the last year. 9-10 was a year that we knew we were going to have a deficit. The employees agreed with the union. We agreed to defer the third year of the 3% COLA to the following year. Plus, that was the year of court closures. So not only did we close the courts, but the employee took 12 furlough days beginning in July of that fiscal year, 9-10. But the side letter had expired, and we were not able to negotiate the elimination of the COLA, and so we had to provide the COLA pursuant to our side letter agreement in 10-11.
And so are the negotiations going on now?
We are done. We had four furlough days for the current fiscal year for 10-11, 11-12, and we had the layoffs. So we laid off. Initially, we laid off 45 people. We have since recalled three people. One came into a grant position. Two, we hired back because we believe we can keep about 100,000 of the AB 109 realignment funds. And so we have three people that we've recalled. So a total of 42 people have been laid off.
So with the 42 that have been laid off, what's your ratio from staff to judges now?
On one of the charts, I ran that number, and it came out about 9.9.
That's about right, about 10%.
And 10 is premium.
Yeah.
And what are you doing to, bring funds? I noticed that it said you're looking into civil assessment. I know that at the PJ's meetings, we've been talking about civil assessments for the last 3-4 years. My court has started that, and it's a good revenue base. What are you doing in that regard?
We've had a civil assessment program in place since 2003. Where we may be expanding it is on misdemeanor cases and on failure to pays, because initially the statute was only on FTAs.
Okay, right. And what other plan do you have to build up your fund balance? I'm kind of with Judge Wesley. What do you have to build up a fund balance? What plan?
Nothing. Do you have any other ideas for us? I keep asking people for other ideas. We've done everything we know how to do. We've done everything we think other courts are doing. And we're really open to suggestions, and no one ever gives us any.
Have you contacted other courts?
Rosa has talked to a lot of CEOs.
Yes.
And have they given you ideas and recommendations and things that you can do to make cuts, streamline, get efficiencies, and create a fund balance?
We've done it all. I have to tell you, it was quite interesting. Earlier this year, there were, throughout the CEO network, there were several, one of the CEOs asked a question, what do you do to meet your budget cuts? And all the comments were coming back from CEOs. And I kept saying, we've done that, we've done that, we've done that, we've done it all already. We're ahead of the curve from all the courts in terms of having to cut back and what we've been able to do.
And we've been doing it long before people started to cut back. You know, we've lived with this kind of a budget for so long that our cuts started years and years ago. You know, this is new for a lot of courts to be 20% underfunded. You know, we've been 20% underfunded forever, so for us, it's just a way of life. Other people are just learning from it.
My court has probably, we're down 6 staff to each judge, not 9.9, not near 10. And we're still able to keep open small claims and civil and all these divisions. So, you know, I don't know who you're talking to, and I don't know. I've looked at the things that you've done, and they are good, helpful things. They're not as much as what other courts are doing. And I just think that, you know, how you rearrange your staff and how you do that is got to be better than you're telling me you're going to eliminate your small claims and your civil division when I've got 6 employees to 10 and you've got 9.9.
It send someone to our court to look at our operations and tell us a better way to do it. I mean that sincerely. I mean, we would welcome any better ideas.
All right. I am from San Francisco.
Wait a minute. Can I ask? I forgot. Miriam Kinski, then Judge Jackson.
Okay.
I think these sorts of requests, both this one and the one we had at 2 meetings ago, are probably some of the most difficult decisions that we have to make. And I frankly think they underscore Justice Baxter's comments earlier about what our top 5 priorities need to be, because unless the budget situation changes, this is going to become the norm meeting after meeting. What I'm struggling with is the extent to which and how we avoid sort of reaching a point where at these meetings we very much feel like there's a gun to our head and the trigger's being pulled, not through perhaps any fault of other than a horrible situation, but we're finding ourselves asking these questions at such a late stage where it's hard to know what the alternatives are. And I think the difficulty is, to what extent are we facing a situation where in some ways we're almost de facto penalizing the courts that have made very tough decisions and put cuts in place up until now, and the courts that have put their own gun to their heads earlier on aren't coming to us. So that's what I'm struggling with here, that we are in an era where very difficult and very bleak decisions have to be made. And some are being made by courts that are trying to do three-year, four-year planning that have put in place massive layoffs, as I know have been happening in Los Angeles and elsewhere, that haven't been raises, that have been making other very difficult choices. Some of those are happening outside of our vision. So I guess where that leads me is both, Zlatko, with a couple questions for you and a thought about future requests like this, because in some ways we are where we are, and we said that when we saw the San Francisco request, and I hate the fact that we're finding ourselves meeting after meeting where we are without the ability to have sort of scrolled back and looked more comparatively. And so what I guess I'm hoping in future reports, and this was excellent, I'm not trying to criticize the report, I would find it helpful to have a little bit more of a comparative analysis. You know, things like the questions Judge O'Malley and others have been asking. Mm-hmm. How do the steps that the court has taken up until now compare to what other courts have done? Mm-hmm. How do their staffing ratio, and perhaps through, you know, Kim and or the trial court presiding judges or the CEOs, there's a way to identify a series of factors without trying to micromanage courts, and I realize the difficult balance, but a way to sort of almost have a yardstick that says, here are the kinds of things, revenue-raising measures, ratios, COLAs, et cetera, where perhaps we could look across courts and comparatively be able to size up what has a court done up until now and how is it compared to others, furlough days, et cetera, just so that we would have a better ability to have a little more of a feeling of comfort that as we're making these tough decisions, we're making them in a context that enables us to better judge, has prudence happened up until now, and what about looking forward? So with that in mind, I guess I just am looking for your answers to two questions specifically, Zlatko. The first is, do you think that practices up until now could have resulted in a different state of affairs, and maybe that's less important because, again, we are where we are, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but looking forward, I've heard very passionately and very appropriately the question of what else could they do, and do you agree that what's been articulated as to a plan looking forward is the only plan, or are there other things that you could recommend? And again, having phrased that question, future reports, I guess I'd also like a little more about looking forward. Are there other cost-cutting or revenue-raising measures that are realistic, not a pipe dream, but realistic that you all could and would recommend so that a court, you know, isn't facing the frustration of not knowing what choice they have, but perhaps get some constructive feedback through this process on that as well?
Before you answer that, if I could just clear up one thing, though, the staff-to-judicial officer ratio, 7.5. It's not 10.
Okay.
It's 7. We just did the math.
Okay. Thank you.
On that point, we can definitely work on more statewide comparative data so we can get a context. I think in terms of our ability to make qualitative decisions on whether a court is managed and most efficient, I think we'd really have to rely on and work very closely with the PJs and the CEOs and possibly in the context of doing this, that we work, provide them staff work, provide recommendations, and help the council make the best decision possible. Because I don't think, you know, I've been here 5 months, and I'm going to play that as long as I can, and I'm trying to learn as much as I can. But I certainly, I haven't been in a court, thankfully, for any bad reason yet in my life. We don't know the kinds of things you know, and so we're going to have to work and I think leverage the knowledge and use the network to provide that kind of context for you. It is important because I think we struggle. We don't know where on that range of action are they extreme, moderate, or light? And I think if we develop some sort of checklist, I know we started to sort of get a grade. We talked about this when we discussed the criteria before. Do we have this checklist? It's not if they get 7 out of 9 and they're an A and they pass, but at least it gives context. It's not purely for the outright judgment, but it does provide a sense of they are managing proactively and they're aware of all the best practices of their colleagues and fellow courts. So I think we can definitely work to make this better, and that's what I think I started in the beginning. If there's something we're not doing, we want to be as helpful to the council. So.
And looking forward, though, how about, do you think that there are other options that that don't require sort of the horrible circumstance that has been suggested in terms of looking to the next year? I mean, do you think that there are other things that could reasonably be put in place?
I think I would have to work with our partners to really answer that question in an educated fashion.
All right.
Thank you, Judge Jackson.
I am from San Francisco, but San Joaquin is different. And I'm glad we have these guidelines because, as I remember your first speech in January, we're in a new norm, Chief Justice. And it's going to be very difficult. I don't know if we're going to have that assurance next year that San Francisco won't be back, San Joaquin won't be back, Santa Clara won't be back, or Contra Costa, as great as it is. Because there's just so many unpredictables. And we have these guidelines, and they're there for us. And, of course, we're kind of making it up as we go along because this is so different. But we also have to remember that as we sit in our courtrooms and we have the law, we have to apply it to each case. Because this is a different case. I've heard from Ms. Turner how they have been sorely underfunded. So we can't make the same comparisons. Many of the conditions that we have set forth, they may very well apply to San Joaquin. All of these conditions may apply to San Francisco or whatever, but we have to do it on a case-by-case basis with an overall guideline. So I do support the recommendation by Ms. Turner as it applies to San Joaquin.
And let me just state before I go to you, Justice Miller, I understand that to be option 5, to fund the $1.08 million as an emergency distribution. I understood it to be fund something between $0 and $916,000 with a report back on the amount used and why.
Correct.
Okay.
And go ahead. Can I just add that I think, and I'm glad we're, I'm sorry that we're here under these circumstances, but I'm glad that we're actually having an opportunity to sort of test drive our new policy today with respect to how we evaluate these requests. And I think one of the things that this process has kind of highlighted for me is that in addition to having Zlotko's group go in and do the financial analysis, I don't think we can actually ask Zlotko to go in and do an operational analysis of any kind. I don't think that that's really his division's role, nor does, 5 months, right, Zlotko? That's how long you've been here. Can I just repeat that?
But he said
that?
He could.
In 13 days.
So, but I think it is valuable because to have some understanding, some increased sort of independent look at discussions with the CEO, discussions with the lead management team and the PJ and the assistant PJ to see what measures have been taken so that we can maybe perhaps make this report more rich and answer some of the questions that came out of today's discussion and not just have this be solely a financial evaluation, but an evaluation of the measures that have been taken historically, last year, the year before, this year, how many furlough days are there, how many this, that, and the next things have gone into the calculus that got the court to the point where it is today. And I want to reiterate, again, what Judge Jackson said. I've been on the trial court budget working group for years, and I've certainly been in a position to know that San Joaquin is different, as Judge Jackson mentioned. It's in a small group of courts, or 15, 20 courts that are historically underfunded. There was a time when the council recognized that many years ago and provided additional funding for those courts. So I don't think we can say that every court is the same and every court should receive the same offer of assistance from the council. based on, you know, the circumstances that they bring to the table. So I reiterate that I think my option five gives us both accountability but also recognition that this court needs assistance and that it will not be in a position to repay a loan. And for that reason, I would like to just reiterate that.
Can I clarify before I go to Justice Miller, Kim, that your option number five, the funding between zero and $916,000 is not a loan?
No, it would not be a loan, but it would require, just like, and CEOs will know, with grant funding, you're often required to report how did you spend the grant money. This is sort of like a grant reporting or claim reporting kind of a process.
Okay.
And I would also, I guess, just offer that maybe, you know, we can take up at a separate time the idea of having this supplemental request process add some kind of an operational review component.
Justice Miller, then Mark Robinson.
I'm just trying to clarify Kim's proposal. Would it include the terms and conditions as well?
Yes, it would.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So I know there's others that want to speak, but I'd like to make a motion, and that is we adopt recommendation number five, which has been discussed, and that we accept as part of that their offer to provide assistance, and that we ask the regional office to provide that to you and to work with you to see whether or not there are other alternatives, other plans that can be instituted for this year and for next year and in the future, that we work with you in that particular area.
I'll second that.
Thank you. I've heard a second by Judge Jackson. I'd like to hear from Mr. Robinson.
Yeah, the only question I had was I'm not quite clear on how the amount 0 to 916 is going to be decided, mm-hmm. when it's going to be decided, mm-hmm. who's going to decide it, how it's going to be decided, et cetera. I mean, maybe you can answer that. I mean, that's my question.
Thank you. And Justice Kaufman?
Judge Kaufman.
Sorry, everyone gets an elevation today.
The question I have is a little different, and I go back to what Justice Hull and Judge Rosenberg says. I would offer competing. I don't know if I can do that, Judge Rosenberg, but I would give him the $1 million. Okay, I don't have a problem with that, and I'd give him the balance of $900,000 as a loan, with the understanding that it's repaid. We take a look at if they can repay it. I would add Justice Miller's request that we send in the regional office or somebody to give them a hand and help them to take a look at the way they're doing business, and perhaps there are efficiencies or ways we can all work together. That at 6 months or a year from now we come back and we figure out what's going on, and if they are truly underfunded, then we need to deal with that. We need to fix that if we know that the court is running efficiently. Mm-hmm. And effectively, and then we can deal with it.
Two things. I want to clarify. It's my understanding, based on this, is that the AOC, the regional director, has been working with San Joaquin.
For years.
Yes. And actually, I do want to point out that 2 years ago, we asked them to come in and help us with the reengineering study on our traffic division. And they did that, and we've implemented nearly all of those recommendations.
That's what I have come to understand in these discussions. But, okay, so first, who did I lose track of? Edie and then Justice Miller.
First, I did want to comment that I did notice that when the raise issue came up that you're still below the statewide average, and I noted that. But from as a member of the bar on this group, I have concern about the idea that a court can simply stop doing any particular kind of business.
So do we.
And I'm sure. I have no doubt that any decision to do that comes with great difficulty. But I think that one of the things that we need to do as a group and as a council is to look into that question of when a court is in financial difficulty, can it simply stop handling a particular kind of case, and what are the ramifications of doing that, and what kind of decision-making process needs to go into that? because that is a very devastating thing to the group that needs a court. You shut down small claims, and you have a group of people who is typically not able to defend themselves or not able to get redress without that system. And for them, while it may not seem like a great deal of money to others, to them that may make a difference that is huge. And so I would like us as a council to address this issue. Not, we can't do it today, obviously, but I think it's very important as we see courts go into crisis to not have a situation where the use of we're going to shut down this or we're going to shut down that is not examined and looked at in terms of how we allocate court business within the funding that we've got.
Chief, may I second Judge Kaufman's motion, because the 6-month report back and the specificity with the $900-some thousand as a loan for me is a little bit more appealing than the other motion. And I think that Judge Rosenberg said we can have up to 3 motions on the floor.
Let me just say, currently I show 2, but one needs clarification, as I've been whispered in my ear. So there's option number 5, which has been moved by Justice Miller, seconded by Judge Jackson. Mm-hmm. Option number 3, which is a loan of the $916,000.
That's four. That's option 4.
I'm sorry.
Four.
Option number 3 is the Judge Kaufman's motion, seconded by Judge Yu. But I understand, is it 4 or 3, Ira?
4. He was moving 4.
You're moving 4?
I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
That is a substitute motion.
Okay. Let me get the clarification now from Justice Miller on option number 5, the first motion on the floor.
It would be for the figures that are mentioned in the report, and I think Kim Turner mentioned those before. I think it's a 1.08 and a 916.
So that answers Mr. Robinson's question about it's 916,000, not 0 to 916.
Right.
Correct. I mean, I guess just as a point of clarification, all I was saying is that some amount between 0 and 916, but 916 would be, I'm comfortable with 916 as long as we attach, you know, some report back and accountability on that 916.
And my motion was for the 916.
Thank you.
And with the accountability. And the basis for that is that I don't think there's any dispute. The facts are clear that they're an underfunded court. And from my discussions with a number of the AOC directors, we have been providing support and help, and we will continue to do that. And I believe you're kind of at rock bottom. And so that's the basis for it. I think that to make it as a loan really isn't going to get us anywhere, because they need the money.
And
they're going to need the money next year.
Okay.
And I think the historical facts are what they are.
And so that is the clarification on option number 5, the fund the 1.08 emergency fund and fund $916,000, not as a loan, with a report back on how it's used and why, in addition to the other conditions mentioned under terms and conditions that appears 1 through 5. And then Judge Kaufman's motion, seconded by Judge Yu, is option number 4, which is a $1.08 million distribution, one-time emergency, with a $916,000 loan on easy terms, as I understood Justice Hull's language on that.
Easy terms being, Chief, being defined as basically what we did with San Francisco. It's a 5-year payback, when and if. I shouldn't say if, that's not a loan then, when it's possible, and we can always revisit it. And I understood Judge Kaufman's motion to include the other terms and conditions.
Yes, yes, here. Thank you.
In essence, Chief, San Joaquin gets the money they want. It's just a question whether or not it's a loan that we talk about later.
Correct.
On, or they get the money directly and we're done.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I guess my question, though, is what I hear both of you saying is loan, but maybe not. And I just feel like it's inappropriate to put them into that position. And we've already heard. We already know. And we're probably going to revisit it next year.
Justice
Miller, I'm not saying maybe not. I've never said that. I just feel that, first I want to compliment Judge Apple and her court, because it is such an unenviable situation to be in. And Judge Apple has actually been so forthright with this counsel. And she has my deepest sympathies. You know, it's not a fun day for you, and I'm so sorry you're here in this situation. It may be that they can pay back the loan, maybe not in 5 years, but longer. They're going to have oversight and assistance from the regional office. They're coming back in 6 months. And I feel, because Judge Apple was so honest and said, even if you give us all the money, we're still coming back next year, I feel that there's additional oversight and perhaps additional incentive if we make the last portion a loan, because there's just a little bit more accountability. So that's why I would second Judge Kaufman's motion.
Judge, so.
And that's why I support Judge Kaufman's motion as well.
Okay.
Can I just?
Yes. Kim Turner.
I hate to continue to beat the drum here, but if I were in the position of Rosa and Judge Apple and was the decision today was to give me a loan that I really had no belief that I could repay, I think it puts them in – I mean, I think they've gone on the record today say, we can't repay a loan. We don't see any foreseeable way that we will be able to repay a loan unless we reinvent the way, you know, the judicial branch budget is allocated – tomorrow and fund us at the same level that other courts are funded. So I think if I were sitting in that chair today, I think it would be hard to accept $2 million given that condition on the $2 million, the $916,000 loan, when I would be signing that I would pay it, when in fact I know in my heart I cannot pay it. So I just want to add that to the mix.
Thank you. Ms. Miriam Krinsky.
I also want to commend you both for not just coming here, but the job that you've done in presenting this and dealing with, you know, these difficult issues. I guess I have one question in looking at the coming year. Are there, pursuant to your contracts or other budgeting calculations that you've done in looking to next year, are there plans to give COLAs or is
no.
it okay?
Chief, could I ask a question? If counsel is looking at these terms and conditions, we're really actually confused, and actually we should probably direct this to Zlatko. Number 4 says our remaining fund balance carried over from this fiscal year is subject to the following requirements. And then if you look at B, it says the court may not use any of the fund balance except to meet its obligation to adjudicate all matters that come before the court and the necessary expenses that arise. Do you mean during the 12-13 year?
You had monies that you were bringing into this fiscal year, so we want to make sure that whatever fund balance you have this year is used in that way.
And that means the $916,000.
And what you had when you ended the last fiscal year.
Okay,
you were
not talking about the new money.
Making sure that you had.
From last year.
It's what you had brought in.
Absorb that into our regular budget anyhow now.
Right.
So, okay.
I'm unclear on for subdivision B.
Right. I thought that was talking about the $916,000 use of that money.
They brought in a fund balance that will be exhausted. We want to make sure that was spent consistently with any of that.
I
so that's all.
Just
so, taking the motion that was first made on the floor by Justice Miller.
Point of order.
Yes.
Per our rules, we need to deal with the substitute motion first. If the substitute motion passes, the original motion is moot. If the substitute motion fails, we go to the original motion.
Okay. Thank you for that point of clarification. So it's option number 4.
That's right.
You don't need me to repeat that, do you?
Is it the
and
loan?
We're going to do a roll call vote, I believe. Well,
that's the loan.
The loan. This is that. That's right. This is option number 4. We'll just call it the loan.
The loan.
And I think we will – well, first we'll try an aye vote and see where we are. All in favor of option number 4, the loan, say aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
No.
No. Okay, so it sounds like it carries. The substitute motion, which is now the loan, is approved with the conditions 1 through 5.
Correct.
the original motion becomes moot.
Thank you. Point of clarification taken. That's off the table.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Judge Apple, Rosa, Junquera, Steven, and Zlotko.
Chief? Sue. On the request for future, one of the things I would be interested in is there a way to regionalize, like, the employment expenses and other things as opposed to statewide?
Sure.
Okay, good
we're
suggestion.
We're going to put our heads together. I'm sorry. We're going to put our heads together and think about what more that in terms of comparative statistics, both statewide and regional, so that there's better understanding.
Yeah, the Valley's very different than San Francisco.
Well, it depends on when the next report comes.
Okay, so for our records, I need to take a roll call because we have voting members and non-voting members, and it's hard for us to discern. And as you know, we need 11 votes of the voting members. So Ron will go through a roll call vote on it.
Thank you,
and
Chief.
Once you get 11, go ahead.
Okay. So this is option four. This is the provision that makes the 916 a loan and with the other provisions. Justice Ashman Gerst.
Yes.
Judge Baker is absent. Justice Baxter.
Yes.
Ms. Davis.
Yes.
Senator Evans. Judge Herman.
Yes.
Justice Hull.
Yes.
Ms. Jackson. Judge Jackson, I'm sorry.
No.
Judge Kaufman.
Yes.
Ms. Krinsky.
Yes.
Ms. Mathai.
Yes.
Justice Miller.
No.
Judge O'Malley.
Yes.
Judge Pines?
I don't think he's here.
He wasn't on today.
He's absent. Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Judge So?
Yes.
That's it?
No. Is that 11?
That's 11.
Judge Waters?
No.
Judge Wesley?
Yes.
Judge Yu?
Yes.
That's
13-3.
13 without the Chief Justice.
Yeah, and without Senator Evans. And so it carries. 13.